Welcome to Freelance Gems, a podcast designed to help you build a more stress-free, service-based business. On this show, I'll be sharing what I've learned as a web designer and founder of my own brand, Opal Templates, as well as interviewing and learning from the best in the industry. So if you're ready to upgrade from regular freelancing to building a brand on your terms, this is the show for you. Before we start this week's episode, I want to let you know that I am giving away one free mini website audit each week to whoever leaves a review on the Freelance Gems podcast on the Apple Podcast platform. I'm doing this because I know reviews are really easy to forget about, but they are absolutely huge, especially on Apple Podcasts, for helping the show grow and in turn helping more freelancers build stress-free service-based brands. So if you're interested and you want to help out the show while getting some feedback on your website, just leave a review on the show on Apple Podcasts, and I'll link to where you can do that below in the show notes. And if your review is chosen, it'll get featured either on the episode that week if we're in the middle of an active season, or just on Instagram, and then you'll just need to DM me to let me know that it was your review. Then you'll send over your URL, and you'll receive your mini website audit packed with tips for your site accessibility, website strategy, and design choices in a 90-second reel, so you also get some cross-promotion for your brand on Opal Templates Instagram too. So if you're interested, please head over there and leave a review. It is super, super appreciated. But without further ado, let's get into the episode. Okay, thank you so much, Sarah, for being here today. I'd love to start just by having you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do for people that don't know.
Yeah. So I'm Sarah, obviously. I'm a Pinterest manager and strategist, and I help online service providers specifically really harness the power of Pinterest and turn it into a email list building, dream client lead generating, brand awareness building machine. That's a short way of saying that I help them manage their own Pinterest accounts.
That's awesome. I mean, I had such like little knowledge of Pinterest before you. And I feel like that's just the power of your niche because, you know, there's so many Pinterest experts for like e-commerce and interior designers and stuff, but there's just not many people that are doing it for service providers. So like you have literally become my go-to. Like if I have a question about Pinterest, I'm going to Sarah's account first.
I love that.
It's so cool what you're doing, but I'm curious, why did you decide to focus on Pinterest? Like what makes Pinterest special to you?
Yeah. So for me, I really love it because you can do a lot with it. I like that. I mean, it takes a lot to do it. So you get things like SEO and writing, as well as design and marketing strategy, which really plays into a lot of my different strengths and interests. So it's really fun from a personal perspective. But then also, as I got more into it and I saw how much it could really do for business owners, and I saw my clients being able to step away from Instagram and create less while still being able to make more money and more time for their business, their other goals, or even just time for themselves. It was incredible to see how powerful it was. And like you said, not a lot of people were talking about it for the service provider perspective.
Yeah, not at all. And I feel like that's one thing that's drawn me to it specifically is like the time freedom where you can just batch stuff and like be good to go for at least a bit. Because while that used to kind of be the case on like Instagram, it's really not anymore with like keeping up with real trends and all that. Like if you batch more than a week or two, you're going to be like posting irrelevant things now. But
yeah,
Pinterest just seems like so much more peaceful. Like you can just kind of calm your nervous system over there. So I think it was a smart choice to focus on Pinterest because I've also been a social media manager, and trying to offer every platform for people is just, it's really hard. There's no way you're going to be an expert in every single one. So just focusing on Pinterest, I mean, I've seen the results you've gotten for your clients and I'm like, oh my God, Pinterest can be so amazing. I need to get it together over there.
It really can be. It's fun.
Yeah. But I'm curious, what do you think, since you are so like tightly niched into Pinterest for service providers, how would you say marketing on Pinterest is different for freelancers like us versus like an e-commerce store or any other type of person that's trying to market on Pinterest?
Yeah. For the most part, a lot of the actual things you're going to be doing and tactics are probably going to be really similar, but it's more so about how you think about it and how you think about the entire customer journey. So for service providers, people aren't going to go on Pinterest looking for a copywriter and immediately buy from the first pin that shows up. They are looking for the solutions to their problems, quick wins. They're probably still trying to DIY. So Pinterest is really a top of funnel marketing platform for service providers and business owners in general. So that first time that they encounter your content on Pinterest is probably going to be the first time they know about you as a brand or as a business at all. So you really have to make sure that beyond your Pinterest strategy, you're backing that up with a really good content marketing strategy. So your blogs should be really good. You need to have like a good email marketing strategy with welcome sequences, and make sure that you're nurturing that person who finds you on Pinterest throughout their entire journey. So that way you have a better chance of converting them into a sale or a client.
Okay. So it sounds like maybe the ideal situation is just to get eyes on Pinterest that eventually become like newsletter subscribers. Would that be like a good example of a strong funnel?
Yeah, I think so. Especially if what you're really doing is offering one-to-one services, the best way to do that is going to be to capture that lead that you get from Pinterest and keep nurturing them. Let them get to know you and your services while supporting them along whatever stage they're at. And then when they get to the point where they're looking to hire, they can't do it anymore on their own, you're going to be the first person that pops up in their mind because they already know you. They're familiar with you. They trust you. All the good things we want.
Yeah, I love that. That takes so much pressure off too, of like the second someone gets into your ecosystem or follows you, like it's time to convert, like start DMing them or whatever. And it's just whenever you try and like rush the relationship, I feel like it never works out. But yeah, for someone to just like become aware of your brand on Pinterest and start to get familiar, so then when they are like, oh, I need to hire a copywriter, you just come to mind instead of like them having to search or anything like that. So I really like that. But as far as long form content goes, you mentioned blogging.
Yep.
Do you think that's really the strongest content to have on Pinterest? Because I have heard that Pinterest doesn't like linking out to YouTube or places like that. So is that everything should be leading to a blog?
I recommend so. I think it is the best, easiest way to do things, especially from this Pinterest perspective. Pinterest really prioritizes links to your own claimed domain. So whether that's a sales page or an opt-in page for a lead magnet or a blog post, those are going to be the highest priority content in Pinterest's eyes. Obviously, creating blog posts all the time isn't really feasible for business owners. We have a lot of other things going on. So any way that you can repurpose content, whether that's a podcast or a YouTube video, and turn it into some sort of living long form-ish, long can be whatever you want it to be, on your actual website, that's going to be the best way to do it.
Okay, I like that. Because I originally was trying to keep up with blogging, and I'm just not a writer. Like, I'm okay at it, but after college, I was like, I just kind of threw the towel in on writing. So the thought of blogging every week just sounds really intense.
Yeah.
But I love podcasting. So something I've been doing is just like putting the smallest blurb on my website for each episode and having like a link to listen. So would something even as easy as that technically work? Or do you think it needs to be like a full transcript?
I think that can definitely work. I've seen everything from like full transcripts to like more formatted blog posts from a podcast, or even just simple show notes or a summary. I think that can totally work.
Okay, cool. I feel like that's going to help a lot of people then, because so many of us have kind of decided on our like long form platform. Like, some people it's YouTube and some people it's podcasts, and some people it is blogging. And for them, they're like, they're golden here. But for those of us that are not writers, that's really nice to know that we can't just, you know, we don't have to just throw the towel in and give up. But I'm curious, how long do you need to stay at Pinterest to kind of start seeing results? Because you mentioned people are going to just be, you know, seeing your content, getting to know your brand for the first time. And to me, that sounds like it's probably going to take a while for them to make a decision? And even in general, how long does it take for those eyes to even get there in the beginning?
Yeah, Pinterest is definitely a long-term process. It takes a while to grow because it is a search engine. So just like it would take a while for your website to start ranking in Google search results, it's going to take a while for Pinterest to learn your content and start pushing it in the search results and the home feed algorithm for users. I would say definitely don't give up before 6 months. Give it at least 6 months. Honestly, the longer you stay on it and the more effort you put, just don't give up. Honestly, that is my... It takes a while and it can be up and down, but I think it's worth it in the end. And the more you work at it, the better you'll see results come in. Yeah. That's hard to really put a timeline on it because it can be so different for every brand and every business.
Yeah, that's true. I think I've made it to the 3 month mark like 2 times now. And I always start kind of losing steam there because I'm like, oh, I feel like I should be famous by now. But hearing 6 months makes me be like, okay, yeah, that's a little more realistic. I like that. But when you're seeing, like, let's say you've been at it for 3 months, you know, totally mm-hmm. theoretically, and your analytics are just kind of dead these days, is that a sign to kind of dig into those deeper and see, you know, what's not working, switch up your templates, things like that? Or does it just kind of go in waves?
A little bit of both. Yeah, that's the tricky thing with Pinterest. Okay. It could be any number of things. There are definitely seasonalities to it, even like if you're not creating seasonal like holiday recipe content. Definitely the trends of how people engage with business content changes. So the summer is slow for pretty much every platform, every aspect of business. That includes Pinterest. So you might see your impressions and your analytics drop. Totally normal. If you're on Pinterest for a while, you can actually start to see those patterns. So that's a plus for keeping up with things. So that way you can anticipate when those drops happen. But beyond just the normal ups and downs, definitely try and dig into your analytics. See what pins are performing well. See if you can kind of try and replicate that success for your other content. Make sure that your keywords are good, up to date. If you haven't touched them or refreshed them in a while, you might want to do a quick search, see if what users are searching for has changed at all. Try refreshing your designs. It's kind of an experiment, but it's worth it, I promise.
Okay, that's helpful, because I've definitely been at that spot lately where I'm like, I don't know, like, is it my designs or is it the keywords or whatnot? It sounds like it could be all of the above, but it is kind of a reminder that, you know, it's not totally passive. It's not like you figure out your keywords once, get your templates once, and then you're done forever. But you do need to put that kind of extra layer of effort in there. So it's definitely reassuring. But I'm curious, what's your pinning routine like for your clients / for yourself if you do Pinterest marketing on there too?
Yeah, so I pin for my clients daily, but I like to batch all of my work and really block that together because that's when I find that I can be the most productive. So I do that sort of massive time block once a month, and that usually will keep them set for the whole month. And then we go in and do little things throughout the day or throughout the weeks. But for most people, that's not going to be feasible to sit down and batch out a month of pins. It's a lot of work, I won't lie. Mm-hmm. So I would probably recommend either weekly or every other week, try and create the content. So design the pins, write the copy, get them scheduled out on a weekly or biweekly basis. And then monthly, take a look at your analytics. Just see how things are going. Overall, you don't need to dig too deep, honestly, into individual stats or look more frequently than monthly. So that would be kind of an ideal routine, I think.
Okay, I like that. That's definitely manageable. It's a lot nicer than hearing like, all right, you're going to need to log into Pinterest every single day and make a brand new pin for every day of the week. But if you can at least get ahead by a week, which is what I've been doing, although I've been slacking the last 2 weeks, but I was on a really good roll before that. It's just way too easy to slip out of it. But definitely. On that note, I'm curious, what's kind of the bare minimum commitment someone can make to be successful in Pinterest, whether it's posting frequency / time commitment? If someone already is, you know, on a bunch of other platforms or they're just super busy right now, what's the bare minimum they can do and still see success eventually?
I recommend one pin per day. I think you're showing up every day, you're creating that content consistently, you're pretty good. If you can do more than that, even better. But if you're creating specifically fresh, unique content, now this doesn't have to be a brand new blog post or a brand new podcast episode every time. It can just be a new design for an older blog post, or maybe you've switched up the title and description for a pin. That still counts as a fresh pin, but those are the things that we really want to be focusing on and trying to get out one a day.
Okay. Cool. So seven fresh pins. Wow. 7 fresh pins per week is the goal?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. 7 fresh pins. Perfect. but as far as like the variety within those pins, I know that idea pins have been a big thing lately. What are your feelings on those and how they should be kind of mixed in there?
Unfortunately, there is not a one-size-fits-all strategy for idea pins. I think that obviously there's still a big thing on Pinterest. Pinterest is pushing them to users less so than when they were first introduced, but they are still popular. They still get engagement and impressions often a lot more quickly than static or standard pins. So I think that if you have video content or if you have the extra time to create idea pins, definitely go for it. If you have this sort of like 7 fresh pins per week cadence, I would add to that maybe just one idea pin a week. And that could be as simple as taking an Instagram reel that you've created and uploading it onto the platform. And there you go. You've repurposed your content without much work and you're still getting the benefits of both platforms.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I've definitely done that at times, especially because you can't schedule idea pins. So yeah. I just took it as like, all right, the day that I'm scheduling all my pins, that idea pin is going out, because just, gosh, nothing grinds my gears like a social media thing that you can't schedule. And that was mm-hmm. Reels for the longest time too. And they finally came around. But if you can at least just do it while you're pinning everything else, I feel like that is a lot more manageable. Yeah. But I know you mentioned reels and video content for idea pins. Is that mm-hmm. really where you should be focusing if you're doing an idea pin? Or is there something to the more like carousel style ones?
I think that there's benefits in both, honestly. A lot of the times I do see that the more like design sort of graphic carousel style pins, they get more saves because they're more kind of like an infographic. So people want to save that for later. And that's a really powerful metric on Pinterest. But then you have the other side of the coin, which is that video content is really engaging and it catches people's eye quickly. So I think it depends. I think there's a place for both in your strategy, but especially if you're already creating that video content, there's pretty much no harm in putting it on Pinterest. It's just more content to use, and we love that.
Okay, cool. I like that too. And then do you need to remove that watermark?
Yes.
Just for... good. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. So it's the same
every platform. Yep, exactly.
Yes, I love that. Just pretending, oh yes, this was made just for you. I love that they care about that. But you know, makes sense. But as far as looking at your analytics, I know you mentioned saves are important. What other metrics should people be focusing on? Because I know I can get kind of caught up in like monthly views or whatever, and then I'm like, what does that actually mean? Is that actually important? Where do you tell people to focus in their analytics?
So there's 3 big numbers that I would focus on. It's the impressions, the saves, and the outbound clicks. Each of them tells you a little bit something different. And impressions is also the same as monthly views. And for the most part, it is kind of a vanity metric. It doesn't really matter how many people are seeing your pin. But it is important. We want to make sure that our SEO is working and that people are actually seeing the pins. So that can be a really good indicator that way, especially at the beginning. That's going to be the first stat that starts to really increase. And so you want to keep an eye on that. And then saves, that's when people are repinning your pin. That shows that they're interested in it. They're really using that sort of bookmarking feature that Pinterest is designed around. And even more so than previously, Pinterest has come out and said that that's a really important metric for them. It's a really good indicator that the pin is useful. So it's more likely to distribute your pin more quickly. But then from a conversion focus, obviously the outbound clicks are really what I focus on for my clients, because those are people that are actually seeing your pin and clicking over to the website. And, you know, maybe from there they opt into your email list or they make a purchase, whatever. The outbound clicks and the traffic is really important to keep an eye on as well.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. That's so helpful, because we always hear, you know, check your analytics monthly or whatever. But if you don't know what you're looking at, then you're just in there like, all right, I hope things are going well. So yep. That's really nice to know, is focus on those three ones and just, you know, understanding the different value of each one, because it's exciting to get a bunch of monthly views and important too. But I feel like at the end of the day, what we all want is outbound clicks to actually go through our website and actually convert. So it's good to remember that when we're creating content on Pinterest. But one thing I'm curious about is, what are your thoughts on Pinterest ads? Because I've heard from some people that this is like the future of Pinterest. I suppose it could go across all platforms where they're just pushing more paid content. But I'm curious if you've experienced any success with them yourselves or for your clients, or whatever your thoughts are on them.
I haven't used Pinterest ads myself or for my clients, but I have heard them talked about a lot, and I have a couple different opinions on them. So one, I definitely don't think that they are necessary. I think Pinterest is a super powerful organic marketing platform, and if you're doing well organically, I honestly probably wouldn't use Pinterest ads and mess that up. Not that it would, but I don't like to take any chances.
Yeah.
And then...
That's good to know.
Yeah. I've also heard that Pinterest is really, or Pinterest ads specifically, can be cost effective compared to the other social media and like Google ads. I don't know that for a fact, but I've heard it. It can be a little bit cheaper maybe. So if you do want to go into the advertising route, Pinterest can be a good place to do that. But beyond that, I think it's pretty much the same as Instagram ads or Facebook ads. There's going to be a fair amount of trial and error and really making sure that your tech and your campaigns are well set up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's good to know. I do feel like for many of us freelancers, we don't really have a big enough ad budget to see huge results on ads. Not that it's not worth experimenting with, but I actually took up one of the like Pinterest newsletters where they're like, oh, schedule a free call with us to talk about Pinterest ads. And when I talked to that guy, he was like, I was like, yeah, my budget's like $50 maybe on a good day to like try them out. Cause it feels like gambling. Like you're kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen. So you don't want to put too much in. And he was like, okay, most, you know, we really do recommend at least like 300 a month to start seeing any real metrics and then like improving those ads. So, which isn't insane. So it's something to keep in mind, you know, if you do have that budget for ads. But then again, I also did one ad and then it did this huge spike in my analytics and it's made everything look so bleak ever since that I do kind of see what you mean about it kind of throwing off, even if it's not literally messing up your content. Like, I don't know why necessarily your organic stuff would do worse afterwards unless there was some like shady stuff going on, but it will kind of mess with your psyche a little bit to see that, because then all of a sudden it's like everything's down because this one day there was like 10,000 and now it's back to 2,000. So organic is probably more consistent.
And this is the other thing about Pinterest that can be kind of deceptive, especially from that sort of analytics view of the impressions, is that when you're looking at like your inspo Pinterest accounts and these people who are doing really, really well, you never know if they're doing ads or not. So I just, it can be really demoralizing to look at a competitor's account and see that they're doing really well, but you're not sure why you aren't. It could just be that they have a huge ad budget and you don't know about it.
Oh my gosh, yes. That makes me feel so much better because I have this one competitor brand that I look at and they literally have only posted like 20 times and it's all the same exact pin format, but they have like 500K monthly views. So that has to be an ad budget.
Yeah, right? I would think so.
I'm assuming. Okay, cool. Cool. That makes me feel a little bit better. But to wrap things up, I'd love to know, what is one single piece of advice you'd give to a freelancer wanting to get started marketing on Pinterest, whether it's something tactical or just to keep our spirits up? I'd love to hear it.
We're going to call this one piece of advice. Start, experiment, and don't give up. Like, Pinterest changes all the time. There's hardly anything you can do really wrong on Pinterest. And the sooner you start, the better you're going to be off long term. And yeah, just try different things, find out what works, and have fun with it. Like, it's meant to take pressure off of your plate, not add on to it. So if it becomes unwieldy and unmanageable, take it back to that like basic level and just have fun with it.
Okay. I love that. That's so nice to hear. Just stick with it, experiment, keep trying new stuff, because like you said, it really does kind of, it's like a very slow snowball, I feel like. And you also can't become like robotic with it. Like, I post the same pins every week and nothing's happening. So
yeah,
that's really nice. But thank you so much, Sarah, for all your insight and your expertise on Pinterest. It has been such a pleasure having you on. But I would love to know where my audience can connect with you after listening to this episode to learn more about Pinterest and potentially even work with you.
The best place would probably be Instagram. My handle is @thesarahburke. And yeah, that'll probably be the number one place you find me.
Okay, I love it. Keeping it simple, just one place.